It's me. Ooh-wee. It's me. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along.
To the Batmobile. Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
The Mega Dicker, the Pancake Flipper, the Boom Stickity Boom Stickity Boom Stickity Sticker, the Boogie Flipper, the Windshield Wiper for your ear master, the Cap'n Crunch that will steal you from disaster. Y'all, you got too many cracks on your wall, you need plaster. Get with the program, you drinking 30-year-old root beer Shasta. You think I'm lying? Nigga, stop lying. Pay attention and you will go far when you tune in to the end of P and the
motherfucking aw.
That's right. What's poppin'? It's Thursday night, 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, midnight in New York for all you East Coast crack-a-lackers. You know what I'm saying? You're listening to the Nestorius Public Radio Show. I'm your host, Nestor Rodriguez, a.k.a.
Yo, it's Nestorius on the motherfucking mic, y'all. For all you people at home drinking your absinthe, smoking your bath salts, hanging out, chewing on your friends' faces, thanks for joining us. Thanks for tuning in. It's another night, 9 p.m. tonight. And we got a great show, and we're ready to bring it to ya.
And that's my my Jewish lawyer, accountant, slash proofreader, Simon Kaufman.
Hello, how are you? And welcome, everybody, to the Nestorius Public Radio Show.
Yeah.
That's his real voice. He changes it for radio.
That's right. And that's my man, Rich Corbin. What's up, babe?
What's up, everybody? How you doing? Good to hear you. Myself.
Yeah, good to hear yourself. Yeah, good to hear yourself. I want to fuck.
Okay. That's right. Everybody, yo. Up in the Skid Row studio.
I got the jiggy toe, don't stop the hairy yo. Licking on my ball sack, thinking it's a paddy whack. Coming up, give my boy a dog bone. Yeah, and you don't stop. I said again, yeah. And you don't quit. Cause you just motherfucker and you eat the don't quit.
Yo, I don't even know, yo, but it's a paddy whack. Yo, up in your booty crack, yo, I get that. And then I go and take a snack with the Jack Link beef teriyaki. Beef jerky, yeah. And then it's me, yeah, with the rich C, yeah, on the right of me,
yes,
and the,
yes,
NPR Thursday night, the superstar, yes, y'all.
The Himalaya, cause Himasaya, I don't stop, motherfucker, pimp slayer, and you just licking on the bone stack, rock, don't patty whack, licking on the homeboy, say what, the crack, the nick back, the patty back, whoa, don't even know what the fuck I'm saying, but I just felt like doing that shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah, now.
Yeah.
Yeah, now.
Yeah.
Yeah!
That's right. Anyway, so we got a good show for you tonight. If you happen to be live, if you happen to be awake and in front of your computer and you ain't got shit to do with your life right now, we're live, 800-893-9562. I just thought I'd throw that out in the air, for your ear. You know what I'm saying? for those of you that haven't done your laundry in about 5 years and shit, you know what you do. You know what you're at. You know who you are. Yeah, you know what's going on. Yeah, right. We have a good show tonight, yeah. So last week we were talking about, I just wanted to continue the conversation because it seems to be the recurring theme as of late of racism, bigotry, prejudice, prejudiceness, and all that other crazy shit. And I just wanted to, continue the dialogue, so to speak, because last week we were talking about Donald Sterling. But then, obviously you go home and you start reading more shit. I was reading this article with Mark Cuban, who is the owner of the Mavericks. And there's a lot of sports shit going on, sports racism and all this other stuff. So we got a couple things. So we got him talking about, that we're all prejudiced on a certain level. We all have prejudiced thoughts. So you got that. You got the never-ending battle of... people who were offended by the word redskin. So the Washington Redskins.
Whoa. R word, bro.
Yeah, the R word.
Seriously.
Oh, the R word.
This is a family show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Motherfucker.
Yeah, how about the ball sack word?
Yeah, this is a dysfunctional family show.
So we got that. I want to talk about that. And then this coach in California, what town was he in? Let me see.
La Mirada.
Thank you.
Fucking coach, Yelltown.
Yo, this dude goes
Screamerville.
Berserk. Screamerville. This dude goes berserk. And then we're gonna get to this issue. The Supreme Court upheld the Michigan ban on affirmative action in college admissions. So, you know, there's a lot of shit that goes on, and people get kind of caught up on insignificant bullshit, and the real issues always go underneath the rug. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? You feel me?
I feel you.
Yeah. So let me start off by reading an excerpt from this article that I was reading. And this is from... Yahoo Sports. So it says, Mark Cuban's admission of his own faults is the kind of message that can spur progress. So it says, there are times when even well-meaning white people become so comically confused and paranoid about what they can or cannot say on the topic of race that even the most innocuous, non-racist of messages make them nervous. Like, say, one white person describing to another white person how they saw a firefighter charge into a building and heroically rescue 3 children. One of them will say, awesome. I know a lot of firefighters in town. Do you know which one it was? The other guy says, no, I don't. But he was maybe in his 30s, tall and strong. And he had a mustache. And looks around. And he looks 3 times. And he's and begins to whisper, an African-American. So how many of you have ever done that, right? You want to describe somebody. And you say, yeah, he was a black guy that went into the 7-Eleven. In theory, right? Who gives a fuck whether he was white or black? But we all say things to describe, you know, your experience, right? So anyway, so then they pause and hope that wasn't construed as terrible. Then the other person has to explain that describing an African-American as an African-American isn't racist. It's just descriptive. Or else they just nod and look around in panic. Also, when it comes to race, many have concluded it's best to say nothing out of fear of innocently saying the wrong thing. It's one of the reasons why there are so few honest discussions about race in this country. There are just too many people on the fringes of every side of every debate topic eager to be immediately offended, or eager to be immediately offended that someone else is offended, or especially on social media, eager to demand someone is fired or sanctioned for supposedly offending them, or someone or something. It goes in circles. Mark Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, decided Wednesday night at a forum to speak publicly on the issue of race while being interviewed by Inc. magazine. To put him in the crosshairs, and the crosshairs can be awful, Cuban was asked about controversial Los Angeles Clippers owner Donald Sterling. And if you listen to his full comments, not the pared-down versions, good for 140 characters or even a column on the subject, it's clear he was condemning ignorance and bigotry. What he said was unfiltered and free-flowing. The casualness with which he spoke suggests a positive comfort level on the topic. This wasn't his first introspection. He wasn't entrenched in his opinion. He wasn't attacking others. Instead, in the interest of transparency, after repeatedly condemning bigotry, Cuban wanted to note that he was hardly perfect, that he too had room to grow. He says, I mean, we're all prejudiced in one way or another, Cuban said. If I see a black kid in a hoodie and it's late at night, I'm walking to the other side of the street. And if on that other side of the street, there's a guy that has tattoos all over his face, a white guy, bald head, tattoos everywhere, I'm walking back to the other side of the street. And the list goes on of stereotypes that we all live up to and are fearful of, he continued. So in my business, I try not to be hypocritical. I know that I'm not perfect. I know that I live in a glass house, and it's not appropriate for me to throw stones. Anyway, so I came across this article, and I thought that was well said. You know what I mean? Because this dude, if you guys don't know Mark Cuban, you need to pop your head out your assholes and pay attention to what's going on in life.
Yeah, he's on Shark Tank.
He's an entrepreneur. The dude's a fucking genius. Very smart guy. And he's outspoken. You know what I mean? So, you know, when you're outspoken, like myself or anybody who's outspoken, you're going to say shit that people are going to go, dude, you said that? I sometimes listen to the show and I go, I can't believe I said that. Or I can't believe I cut Simon off to say this or whatever. You know what I mean? We all say stupid things. And I think that that goes along the lines of what we were talking about last week, whether Donald Sterling is actually a racist or if he's just a demented bigot. And there's a big difference. You know what I mean? With that said, as I was saying earlier, 50 U.S. senators signed a letter urging Washington football team to change name. Of course, throughout this whole article, no one says the Redskins. No one says the Washington Redskins. That's the fucking name of the team, right? So the fucking letter, it's just unbelievable. So New York Times reports that 50 U.S. senators have signed the letter to the NFL, urging them to put pressure on Washington team owner Dan Snyder to change the team's name. The NFL can no longer ignore this and perpetuate the use of this name as anything but what it is, a racial slur. The letter reads, "We urge the NFL to formally support a name change for the Washington football team, not the Washington motherfucking Redskins." Like, I don't know. It just fucking pisses me off how everything has become offensive to somebody or somebody else. And you can't say anything because someone's going to get offended.
Well, I mean, racism comes down to the color of one's skin. So if you're saying red skin, I mean, that's the problem. You know,
racism does not come down to the color of one's skin. Racism comes down to objecting to a person of a certain color from doing something or another.
Because of why?
Because of the color
of their skin.
Right, right, right. But just the name of the color of their skin is not racist. Okay? So you know, we...
Do Native Americans have red skin? That's red. That color on the Skid Row studio sign is red.
Native Americans have a right to feel that red skin is a racial slur. And this is solely an opinion that a Native American Indian, a Native American or descendant thereof, should have a right to voice his opinion. I'm not voicing my opinion whether they should change their name or not. I'm not even going to go there because it's not my right. You understand?
Well, what do you think?
Well, I'm kind of torn by the whole thing. I'm thinking, yes, back then, way back when the white settlers came to America, calling a Native a redskin was a racial slur. Right? It was like calling black people a nigger, or like people calling me in the neighborhood a spick. You know what I mean? But that in and of itself is not racism. It's not racist. That could be considered bigoted. Racism is to say, you know, colored fucking fountain, colored this, or you know what? I'm not renting an apartment to those fucking spicks because they smell like shit. They eat rice and beans, and they fucking attract roaches.
Yeah, and they lower their cars. They scrape up the parking lot with their lowered cars.
They leave grease on the bottom of the street. That's racist. I don't know.
Let me chime in on this.
Chime in, please. Chime in.
In this. Okay. Yeah, you had to use separate, back in the day, you had to use separate bathrooms and drinking fountains and all that. But you know what? They changed that because it was offensive, and it's just plain wrong. Now, the what? Redskins, they named the team. The team
fountains?
Was named, and from according to this article, the name was given to the Redskins by a separatist, a guy who was, or a segregist, segregationist.
Segregationist.
George Preston Marshall.
Yeah.
And it gave them the name. So the name comes from a guy who was all about segregation
right.
and all that.
Right.
Now here's the thing. I don't know. Personally, I could care less about the whole name and all of that stuff. If it's offensive to a good group of people and it has good cause to be offensive,
absolutely.
Then change the fucking
absolutely.
Name.
Absolutely.
The problem is that, and in my opinion, is that everybody is so butthurt over the smallest thing.
Right.
Where you know, yeah. you're not going to be able to wear a black shirt
right.
or they're going to change
right.
the name
plus,
black.
Here's the thing.
You know, they're going to just change the name of the shirt
when
to
another color.
When
you say the
color.
N-word, you're giving that word so much power that you can't say it. That's what it is. Let me read this letter that was written to the U.S. Senators.
U.S. senators.
To the commissioner of the National Football League. This is the letter. It says, Dear Commissioner Goodell, or Goodell.
Goodell.
This month, Americans applauded the rapid and decisive reaction from new National Basketball Association Commissioner Adam Silver to the racist remarks of Los Angeles Clippers owner Donald Sterling. Commissioner Silver sent a clear message that racism will not stand in the NBA. Today, we urge you and the National Football League to send the same clear message as the NBA did, that racism and bigotry have no place in professional sports. It's time for the NFL to endorse a name change for the Washington, D.C. football team. It's like, I just find it offensive when, as an American, you can't just say what you mean, or you can't speak what the fuck you're trying to say. You have to dance around the fucking thing. And I, in my opinion, well, that makes it worse for me.
Well, they're not trying to give credence to the name. And the reality
but
is,
but they're giving credence to the name by fucking, by bringing so much attention to it.
What's more offensive, talking about the name or talking about the Redskins, talking about that and giving it so much power, as it were, or just...
No, not that.
You know, I mean, no, I mean, they're bringing it more up to light. Well, change the fucking name, move on.
He's already said he won't.
Fuck, change the name.
Yeah, he's already said he won't. You understand?
See, so you know a couple months ago. So you know what the National Football League should do? The National Football League should do what they did to Donald Sterling. They should say, you're a racist. You need to fucking sell your team and get the fuck out. That's what they should do, because then eventually the government will step in and say, you know what? You're having racist thoughts. We're going to evict you from your house. It's listen, like, whatever happened look, to fucking freedom of speech?
Let me ask you a question.
They who change. Look,
who gets to decide what's racist?
Dude. No, I'm telling you what racism is.
You know who gets to decide who's racist? The people who are offended.
The minority group.
The people who are offended.
Exactly.
But that's not racist. That's not racism.
But
racism is when you prevent someone from having the same rights of another person, okay? By saying a word, you're not preventing somebody from their fucking rights.
I don't know how.
It's bigoted.
I don't know where you're drawing the line between bigotry and racism.
I'm calling the line of bigotry. Everyone here is bigoted on some level or another. How many times have you said the word faggot? That's a bigoted fucking statement. You're saying that homosexuals have they're inferior to you when you say that. Okay, it's the same thing as saying
but homosexuals
big,
aren't a race. Homosexuals aren't a race.
It doesn't matter. It's the same sentiment. It's the same sentiment. You're basically treating a human being that belongs to a certain section.
What if they found a gay gene? What if they pinpointed?
Forget that.
They have gay genes. They're so, skinny genes.
Skinny genes are gay genes.
Yeah.
What if they found a gay gene? What if they found
they
a gene?
They have them. They call Sergio Valente.
Okay. Yeah. So if they found this gay gene,
who cares? That's not the point.
No,
Rich.
The point is that if they found this gay gene, then
now there's a fucking certain amount of people that are actually humans. That doesn't matter.
Then they would actually be a race.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
No, they wouldn't.
It doesn't matter if it's a race or not.
Does everyone who has a peanut allergy become a race because they have some genetic predisposition?
That's a fucking physiological
thing.
That's
my point. So would a gay gene. Gay gene would be the same thing.
Can I tell you something? You guys are getting caught up in the semantical bullshit. It doesn't matter if there's a fucking gay gene or a fucking if homosexual or a race. What matters is that a group of people are being fucking prevented from having the same fucking rights as other people. That's fucking racism. Okay?
Look.
Bigotry is when you have an opinion about someone. Don't fucking tell me that you've never walked down the street and you see some menacing gangster motherfuckers, and just by the look of them and how they walk, that you say, oh shit, that's you know, this, that, and the other. That's prejudice, which falls under the term of bigotry. If you don't live outside of that box enough, you will start to think that all of those types of people have knives and they're gangbangers.
Look, I don't know where you're drawing the line between bigotry, racism, and prejudice.
I
don't know how you're getting to that point.
I just told you.
But I don't know how you're getting to that point. All I'm saying is racism.
Okay, let me make it clear for you. If I was Donald Sterling and I say, I don't want you bringing blacks into my fucking into my baseball games, but yet I hire black people, I wouldn't call a racist. I would call him a bigot. He's a bigoted fucking idiot. You understand? He's just offering an opinion to his bimbo fucking triple injected liposuction lip whore.
Okay.
That's all he is.
Let me say this, though. He might have said, he said, don't bring black people to my game, and he hired black people. But so did slaves. You know, I mean, so did plantation owners. They hired black people to do a certain job. And they said that you have to live you know, outside.
Let me correct you. They didn't hire. They owned.
Well, they owned, but they
so
had.
When you own, you do whatever the fuck you want to do with your property.
Okay. They didn't bring two copies of a resume.
Right. They didn't say.
They didn't get on the boat, the slave ships with two copies of a resume.
They're dealing with semantics.
They didn't say, "Nigga Johnson, when was the last time you picked cotton?"
Yeah.
They didn't say that.
Are you money motivated?
Are you motivated?
Do you understand my point?
How many lashings can you take in a minute?
Do you understand my point, though?
He doesn't
give a shit if he doesn't care.
Dude, I'm not going to argue this. We already went through this last week.
He's racist. The way that he makes money off that team is because that's who he hires.
So then why don't all his black players say, you know what? You're a white racist cracker, and I'm leaving the team. Why?
Who, Sterling or Snyder?
Sterling. Why don't all those motherfuckers, since they must believe and know that he's a racist fuck, right?
Well, for starters,
they're
getting paid. That's their job.
All right,
and their ability to play basketball.
Will you suck a dick for $1 million? At what point will you say, yes, I'll suck a dick?
That's the problem. They won't go on strike.
So then,
the United States people won't get up and actually
say something. Time out. I'm willing to bet if Donald Sterling is still the owner of the Clippers when the next season starts, they will protest. I'm willing to bet that. I'm telling you. They will. They were in a difficult situation.
The players got to play basketball.
No, listen. The players got pinned between a rock and a hard place. If they boycott the playoffs, now keep in mind, a player's career is short. They made it to the playoffs, okay? If they boycott the playoffs, they hurt the fan base, okay? So they're caught between a rock and a hard place.
Donald Sterling will find a whole backup team of black or white players to replace them instantaneously, like that, okay? So what's the point? It doesn't fucking matter.
We're talking about the Redskins. We're talking about the Washington Redskins.
Right. Okay? But the letter refers to Donald Sterling. And what I say is, why don't you fucking force the Redskins? I'm just talking about at what point, we're talking about differentiating something. So at what point does someone say, you know what, sell the fucking team? Why don't they force the fucking owner of the Redskins to sell the team? Because he's obviously a racist.
But did he name the team?
It doesn't matter.
So maybe
he's not willing to change the name.
Because maybe he's a racist because of the product, because it's a recognizable product.
Right?
If they were the Washington Junoses,
right?
Would that be racist?
That would be a great name for a team, the Washington Junoses. They're like accountants that play basketball.
Oh, the Jews are good at basketball, dude. Jay Klein used to be the center for the Atlanta Hawks.
We got to move on to La Mirada, okay? Because what it is that there's a lot of, and here you want to hear my overall thought about this? Too much weight is given to sports. Guys, sports is guys playing with balls. It's not life or death. It's not a cure for cancer. Wake the fuck up. It's not that important, okay? Do you know how much these motherfuckers make, all of them? It's a fucking joke. It's ridiculous. Now, moving on to La Mirada, this coach, in my opinion, he is the number one motivator, and he should be the president of the National Basketball Association, or also the Nigerian basketball team that we were talking about last week.
The Nairobi Basketball Association.
Yeah. But
Hello, my friend.
My friend, listen. I am going to sell you umbrella, my friend. Anyway, so this dude, he came back from a basketball game or a football? It was a baseball coach.
Baseball coach.
Right. So he comes back and he says.
Play the clip. You got the clip?
Yeah, I do. But he says his team didn't show enough heart. Where's your fucking heart? I told you there was one thing that made the difference between La Mirada and other schools. The one reason we can compete with teams that are bigger and better than us is, and that's our hearts. Where the fuck was that? Let me play this clip. It is fucking hilarious. Because this is why I did not play sports, because my fucking life as a Puerto Rican was traumatized enough by an alcoholic father and a fucking knife-wielding Puerto Rican mother. Okay, I didn't need a white guy yelling at me. All right? Check this out. Watch this. This is hilarious.
Baseball game I've ever seen a group play. I'm not working hard. I told you there was one thing that makes the difference between Harvard and other schools. The one reason we compete with teams bigger and better than us is our heart. Where the f*** was that? plate.
All right, all right. Now, I can see this guy, right? Training the Puerto Rican Pussy Eating League. You don't eat the pussy! You motherfucker! I told you to come in here! The one thing that makes us Puerto Rican different is that we eat the pussy with heart! What the fuck is wrong with you motherfuckers? You cocksuckers! You are not representative of the Puerto Rican Pussy Eaters League! Okay? You make me fucking sick to my stomach! You stupid, useless, cock-licking motherfuckers!
Let me tell you something, folks. I grew up in the last generation before the political correct movement.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, you'd hear things like, hey, faggot, get up. And you'd have to be like, sorry, coach. Yep. And then you'd have to get back at the end of the line and like run your drills.
Right.
When I would play football, I was the only white guy on the football team.
And
true story.
Black guys.
I was, one white guy, one Samoan, and all brothers.
Right.
And the coach used to have the captains of the, I shit you not. If you were dogging it in practice, the coach would have the captains drag you behind the equipment shed and beat you up a little bit. Not beat you up, but like punch you a couple times and rough you up.
Right.
And then you'd have to get back and keep running. And the coach would like not even, like it was kind of like a weird thing, you know, like in Full Metal Jacket when they hit the guy with the soap, right?
Right.
But check this out. Check this out.
Check it.
Forget about my football team. When I was a kid, we played T-ball in Rainier Beach in Seattle. Yo, check it. We played T-ball. Now, for those of you that don't
know, that's not the same thing as teabagging. It's called T-ball. Come on.
T-ball is when you're so young, you can't hit live pitching, so you have to hit it off a tee. So we used to go to T-ball practice, and we had this black coach.
Like a golf tee, but it's higher.
But it's higher.
Yeah.
We had this black coach, right, that used to scream at us. And we were so frightened of him because we never knew what he was yelling at. We must have been 8, 9 years old.
Right.
Right? And he would yell at us. So one day,
I just did in my example of Pussy Eating League, right?
You would have fit in.
Okay.
So I'm like 9 years old. I'm standing in the outfield one day, and I'm staring at the sky or the clouds because I'm just a kid.
Right.
And whatever.
You were thinking of bagels and fucking kosher hot dogs and shit.
Yeah, I was thinking of like, you know, battle cats and like He-Man.
How your future was going to be fucking painted by accounting classes and you were going to be a lawyer and all that.
No, how I was going to be cursed and stuck with you.
Okay.
So
listen.
So one day, the ball gets hit, and I didn't pay attention, and it goes right by me. And our coach comes out to me. Keep in mind, I'm 9 years old, and he looks at me, and he points at me. He goes, if you let that ball go by you one more time, you're fucked. And I remember being so scared.
Because you didn't know what fucked meant.
I didn't know what fucked meant. And I was like, oh, shit.
Sexually assault you?
I was like, oh, shit. And I was like so scared and like on point, like not letting the ball. I can't let this ball go by or I'm going to get fucked.
He's fucking.
I didn't even know what it meant.
It was effective.
What's so funny is sometimes when adults yell at kids, the kids don't know what you're yelling at. They don't know why you're mad.
Then you don't know what I'm yelling about. Then you whack them in the fucking head for not knowing why you're yelling at them.
That's the worst, when you get hit and you don't know what you did wrong.
Listen, as a Puerto Rican kid, I got yelled at and I was crying. I didn't know why I got hit. Why I was yelled at. Get hit in the fucking head with a shoe. Now you know why you're crying, because you just got hit in the head. You see what I'm saying? Next time I yell at you, you just fucking shut the fuck up and you just make believe you know what I'm saying and you just do the opposite of what you've been doing for the past 5 minutes that made me yell at you. It's that simple.
Dude, we were so scared of this
coach.
You
understand?
But yeah, it forces you to stop intellectualizing and just do the
fucking
do it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter why I hit you, but if you don't do what I told you, then I'm going to hit you again.
Yeah, newsflash.
It gets you
in line. You get yelled, you stop. You get yelled at, and then you do the opposite of what you've been doing, because obviously it's been wrong. Whether you understand it or not, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? That's it.
Yo, but like, it's like training a dog. The dog needs to know why you're yelling at it. You feel me?
Listen, the dog, you train him. You yell at the motherfucker and you hit him in the ass with a fucking flipper, okay?
But you need to tie the punishment to why you're angry or the dog doesn't get it.
No, you need to let the dog know you're an alcoholic owner and that you're going to beat the shit out of him randomly whenever you fucking feel like it. And that there's nothing he can do because I'm the motherfucker that's buying him Alpo. And I don't give a fuck about this new homo-ass fucking low trans-fat fucking prepared dog food at fucking $300 a pound that they're trying to sell nowadays. My dog will eat shit if I give it to him, and he'll like it. You understand? That's the problem with our society nowadays. Too many fucking choices, and everyone's got all these fucking rights.
Oh, yeah.
You ain't got no rights, motherfucker.
Fluffy doesn't like dog food.
Yeah.
Fluffy likes human food.
Yeah.
I think Fluffy sniffs his ass,
yeah,
and you should go fuck yourself.
Exactly, exactly.
I don't think dogs think it through, and they're like kids, too, because
exactly.
you can't sit around and intellectualize why you got yelled at. Just, you know, at that time, yeah. Look.
That's funny. Dogs sniff ass and lick balls, but yet you're going to be worried about what kind of food you give them.
Yo, I don't know.
Oh, hold on a second. That calls for... sniffing, bowl washing, ass crack licking. Special high superiority food for your dog.
9 out of 10 dog owners in the United States of America are not qualified to own animals.
Absolutely.
And I'm
going
to tell you why.
Absolutely.
Because a dog is a pack animal. You have to show it that you're in charge.
Right.
You have to
Correct.
Break its will
Correct.
Or it's going to piss all over your goddamn carpet.
It's like Puerto Rican kids.
Bark. Yeah, it's like Puerto Rican kids. It's like Puerto Rican
kids. You got to show them that you're in charge.
Or they're going to piss on your Cheerios.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So the thing about it is, it's not your child. It's not your daughter. You're not its mommy, okay?
Treat your daughter and your son like your dog. Tell them who the fuck's in charge.
No,
you're
I'm saying they treat their dogs better. They treat their when American society is ready to treat our homeless population like we treat our chihuahuas, then we're going to take a step forward.
Thank you.
Okay?
Thank you. That's what I'm fucking talking about.
I don't know at what point in humanity we passed the point where it used to be we were the more evolved species. Folks, if you're listening out there and you're trying to decide if you're the more advanced species than your dog, look at your thumb. If it wiggles, okay,
wiggle.
Be the fucking human and smack your dog on the ass so it doesn't dumb fuck.
Right. And if your kid is in the outfield and he's thinking about fucking bagels and lox, slap him in the fucking head. Maybe he'll grow up to be a man and know the difference between daydreaming and catching a ball.
You want to play T-ball? You need heart.
Right.
You need heart to play T-ball
because
at 9 years
life,
old.
In life, it's not double dribbling. It's fucking thinking and doing and fucking making things happen. Not licking your balls or sniffing ass like your dog.
Yeah, you want to play on the Simi Valley Roundtable Pizza T-Ball team, motherfucker? Then you need a buck up. You need heart.
Love it.
You want your juice box, you Capri Sun, after fucking practice?
Let's move on to that Supreme Court upholds the Michigan ban on affirmative action in college admissions. You brought this article to my attention.
Well, the crazy thing is, the whole time everyone's worried about... This is what Americans do.
Right.
We spend all the time worrying about issues that are not important,
right.
Like, what words can we say?
We follow a bouncing ball. Meanwhile, while your eyes are on the red ball going from left to right, someone's taking your pants down and shoving a big black cock up your ass, okay?
Yeah. With a T attached.
Yeah.
Yo, why is it gotta be black?
Yo, because, with a big Asian dude's cock up your ass.
What about like a red cock?
Yeah, the only one.
Okay.
How about a red cock?
All right. Oh, with a big black, red skin
with a Washington red cock.
Yeah, okay. You're being anally assaulted.
Well, the whole time we're worried about whether or not some guy named Donald Sterling is an idiot, the Supreme Court... In Michigan, holds up a ban on affirmative action.
Right. So what this means, which most people didn't even know, most people in my circle didn't know, most people don't even know what affirmative action is, which today on NPR and This Story's Public Radio, we're going to enlighten you. We're going to show you that you have not given up hope. You understand? Life is not over. Just because you're smoking crack, it's not over. It's just begun. So... What it means is that, let me read what affirmative action is, then we'll go back to that article. Okay. Affirmative action or positive discrimination, known as employment equity in Canada, reservation in India, and positive action in the UK, is the policy of providing special opportunities for and favoring members of a disadvantaged group who suffer from discrimination. All right. The nature of positive discrimination policies varies from region to region. Some countries, such as India, use a quota system whereby a certain percentage of jobs or school vacancies must be set aside for members of a certain group. In some other regions, specific quotas do not exist. Instead, members of minorities are given a preference in selection processes. Okay. The origins of affirmative action. The term affirmative action was first used in the United States in Executive Order 10925 and was signed by President John F. Kennedy on March 6, 1961. It was used to promote actions that achieved non-discrimination. In 1965, President Lyndon B. Johnson issued Executive Order 11246, which required government employers to take affirmative action to hire without regard to race, religion, and national origin. In 1967, sex was added to the anti-discrimination list. Okay, so the purpose of this is affirmative action is intended to promote the opportunities of defined minority groups within a society to give them equal access to that of the privileged majority population. It is often instituted by, for government and educational settings to ensure that certain designated minority groups within a society are included in all programs. The stated justification for affirmative action by its proponents is that it helps to compensate for past discrimination, persecution, or exploitation by the ruling class of a culture, and to address existing discrimination.
Yeah, I mean, so basically, so they made it so that you had to let in a certain amount of minorities into your college, so you could field a football team.
Right, right. Well, here's the thing. So you brought this up to my attention, and you said that's racist. So there's racism going on, real racism, and then everyone's worried about Donald Sterling. And I said to you, that's not necessarily racist.
Do you think affirmative action is racist?
No, not having affirmative action is racist. That's what he was saying. He's saying that the ban on Michigan for affirmative action in college admissions is racist. Affirmative action is just a tool to allow that the government put in place to make sure that there wasn't discrimination is what it is. It's a tool, right? So you're saying back in 61, you guys are not qualified to not discriminate. So we're going to do this. We're going to make it easy without having to go into your school and saying, let me see your records. What did you do? Blah, 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 blah. They're going to say, okay, you need to hire 10% of your workforce minorities, be that black, white, black, Latino, Asian, whatever it is. And then in 67 or whatever it was, you need to include women in that picture, right? So that you can give equal opportunities. But the thing I'm saying, or the thing that gets me, is that it says so that you can give them an equal playing field, the same that the ruling class has. Who's to say that just because you're a minority, you're not on an equal playing field than the, you know, ruling class? You follow what I'm saying? So academia, for instance, to get into a college should not have anything to do with whether you're white or black. It should have something to do with whether you're intelligent enough or you're educationally apt to learn what the fucking programs are being taught in that school is. And if they have certain standards and you cannot pass the basic requirement test, then you shouldn't be there. I don't give a fuck if you're black, white, Latino, or fucking Asian. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Look, affirmative action is a tool. But the only problem is the Supreme Court are nine tools who wear black dresses and think they fucking know shit.
Right.
And they can go fuck themselves because they're coming out and saying, the Supreme Court is coming out and saying that racism is dead. There is no more racism.
Well, the Supreme Court is saying that.
And I want to know.
This was brought to the Supreme Court and they voted it in favor of the people who brought it forth. In this case, it was the universe. Hold on a second. It was the College of Michigan. Hold on. What's the name of the... You can continue talking until I find...
Okay, well, basically, the Supreme Court are nine people who suck each other off and are worthless human beings, one of which is Clarice Thomas. Let's not forget that. Your good buddy Clarice Thomas, sexual deviant.
Crack-smoking Clarice Thomas.
No, he was the guy
I
that...
I know, he was fucking around with underage hookers and shit like that. Same difference.
No. It was the sexual harassment suit. Clarence
Same
Thomas.
Same difference, dude. Smoking crack, sexual harassment.
Listen,
you should be shot.
You don't make it to the Supreme Court unless you molest a couple children. It's one of the prerequisites.
Right.
But my point is...
It's a rite of passage.
My point is that anybody who thinks there's no more racism in the United States...
Well, is ignorant.
It should be shot.
But here's the thing. I was explaining...
Should not be in charge. And they should not... Not only should they not be on the Supreme Court, they should not be coaching high school baseball.
I was explaining to you earlier, right, that affirmative action in certain cases have actually spurred or spawned racist actions. Okay. Look, and let me explain something to you. Let me say, I gave you a story about how back in the 40s in Detroit, when the automobile industry was really big and booming, they didn't have enough employees, right? Detroit was not black. So they looked towards the South to get black workforce because there were a lot of blacks and they were unemployed. They migrated blacks to Detroit to fill in all these positions. There's a lot of jobs. I don't know how many fucking auto manufacturers, motherfuckers are making cars. The automobile industry is booming. Only problem is the majority of the workforce there that was white did not want to work alongside blacks in the auto line. Yeah. Right. So there was racial tension. Right. Add to that, the infrastructure in Detroit was not there to support all these fucking people that just moved up there. There wasn't enough housing. There was no public transportation. How do these people get to work? There's not enough restaurants. There's not enough grocery stores, yada, yada, yada. So the government came in and said, we're going to build housing just for these new black employees that have come from the South, on and on and on. And we're going to have special buses that are going to take them from there to the auto plant areas. So what happens? So now that these African Americans have these places, they're looking forward to getting this place to live, right? On opening day, the white population in Detroit went to the opening with bats and beat the fuck out of almost every black person. A riot ensued. You understand?
Okay, but so, affirmative action did not cause
hold on,
that.
Hold on. I'm saying, that's a crazy ass example, but what happens is when
there was also a different time though.
Different time. But when you're saying, there are white fucking people in America that are fucking less, you ever hear of Appalachia? Is there an affirmative action clause in most colleges or jobs that say you have to hire 5% Appalachian white people that are fucking retarded and inbred? No.
Well, maybe.
But with affirmative action, if you're letting people in schools and they're below, your
comprehension or math or whatever.
Yeah, I mean they're not accepting people who are below their standard or their GPA
acceptance
exactly.
requirement.
Exactly. Right. They're not bringing people in
who can't compete.
Who can't do
so. Do you have to have an affirmative action law that says you have to admit 10% African Americans? Shouldn't that just be the case anyway? So are you saying that if that affirmative action clause was not in there, that those colleges would probably not admit any black students?
Well,
is that what you're saying?
Michigan, it kind of keeps them honest in a way, though, too, because there are a lot more students.
There are
a lot more students, that can go to colleges, that have the requirements to go to college.
Well,
and if they're full, if the classes are full or whatever, then. They can select. The problem is that they get to select who goes to their college, right?
Well, here's the deal.
So it kind of keeps them honest and makes sure that at least there's a certain percentage.
The admission selection, yes. But here's the deal. I can understand that certain scholarships you have to give a certain amount of scholarships mm-hmm. to underprivileged people, be it minorities or whites or whatever, right? Because, all right, let's say your educational aptitude is right up on par with the smartest white guys, right? To get into Harvard, right? But you can't afford to get into Harvard, so you got accepted. What fucking difference does it make? You got fucking, $5,000 a credit or whatever the fuck it costs to get into Harvard? No. So I can see that there's a minimum, percentage of, subsidy to allow these people who under normal circumstances would not be able to afford that. That makes sense to me. But to say that you have to allow a certain percentage of your student admissions to be, minorities or whatever. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, and I'm not saying that the ban is fucked up. I'm just saying that I don't think that's racist. And you were saying that you thought it was. That's where I'm coming at.
Well, you made the saying, you said something a couple minutes ago that sometimes in certain cases, affirmative action has led to racism. And you gave this example
of
Detroit.
But
that's not really, I don't see it like that. Like, for instance, as a Jewish guy with anti-Semitism, one thing Jews know.
Jews know, I know, we know, Jews know.
Well, people always say, if Jews acted differently,
or maybe if we did more to fit in, or maybe if we didn't seclude
that's
ourselves.
Right there.
Well, no, hold on. People say if Jews act differently, people wouldn't hate us so much. But historically, that's proven time and time again to not be the case. Anti-Semitism, people that are anti-Semitic, there is no changing them. There's no discussion. There's right. nothing we can do. Right. We can chop off our beards. We can take off okay. the black hats. We can stop keeping okay. the Sabbath.
Stop
we can
right
stop
there.
Keeping
stop
kosher.
Right there because
and they're still going to hate
stop
us.
Stop right there. That's a very good point. Because racism is fear, okay? Racism is fear that if you give somebody else the same opportunity that you have, they might surpass you and they might take what you think is yours. So when you look at Jews in America and you look at Jews that most people think they're successful. I mean, I've read, I don't know how many fucking anti-Semitic fucking blogs and ignorant motherfuckers in this country that they think that the problem in America are fucking Jews because they're rich and they're powerful. They're fucking stupid. Okay. The reason now going back to what I was just saying that affirmative action contributes sometimes to racism is because some people will start thinking, and when I say some people, those that are afraid that if you give other people the same rights that you have, they may take something that you think belongs to you away. They'll say, well, how come you're going to make it easy for some black kids to get into that college? You're not making it easy for my white kids to get into that college. You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So right there, you're all you're doing is you're perpetuating fucking suppressed racial fucking opinions.
You're not,
things.
Because that person is racist because he's racist. There's nothing you can do. There's no policy you can make. There's nothing you can do. You're not going to change him unless he has a life experience or an aha moment. In Mein Kampf.
So you mean unless he watches Oprah?
No, I'm saying, yeah. No, unless he has an incident. Unless he has an incident where he realizes the folly of his ways. In Mein Kampf, Hitler wrote about where he would go and he saw really religious Jews with like the side locks and the beards and the hats and the long, and he talked about how disgusting they were to him, how they were filthy, right. vile people.
Right.
But, and this is anti-Semitism, mm-hmm. but then he talks about how he goes to Berlin mm-hmm. and he sees the Jews in their business suits, mm-hmm. they're shaved, mm-hmm. and those were the ones that were really disgusting because they looked like normal Germans.
Right, they were hiding.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So he hates us when we're different.
Right.
But he hates us more when we're the same.
Because now you're fucking sneaky.
That is damned if you do or damned if you don't.
No. But his mentality was that those that are clean shaven and can assimilate with the normal German population are even sneakier and more dangerous. Because you can't tell them apart.
What I'm saying is there's no law, policy change, or behavioral change a person can do to somebody like that. Because he hates us when we're different. But he hates us more when we're the same. Do you see what I'm saying? People say with Israel, well, if they just give land back, then the Muslims won't hate them.
Well,
it's not true.
That's another.
It's just not true. It won't happen.
Yeah, all I'm saying is that I don't think banning affirmative action in college admissions, I don't necessarily think that's racist. That's all I'm saying. Now, the mentality that someone would say you don't need to have affirmative action in colleges because the level, the playing field in America as a whole is level. In other words, minorities, blacks, Latinos, Asians, or whatever, have the same opportunities as whites. That might be a little ignorant, and I'm not going to argue that one way or the other. You follow what I'm saying? Because the playing field in America will never be equal. Will never be equal.
It's not supposed to be equal. It's not supposed to be. It's a,
The playing field in America is run by white dudes, okay, that have a lot of money. Those are called the haves, okay? And a lot of people in this country, they try to emulate, right? So that they can be like those people, so that they can think they can be in that club. You see what I'm saying? We spend a lot of energy and a lot of time and a lot of money trying to look like you can gain entrance into that club. When you wake the fuck up and you realize that you don't need to join that club. You need to know who you are and you need to stand up for what you believe in. And then you need to progress as a person, be a better person, educate yourself. You know, I'm glad that there are fucking opportunities for minorities, but how many people actually take those opportunities? Think about it. You want to look at the minority fucking situation in America? I grew up in Spanish Harlem. You want to know how much fucking opportunity there are for the blacks and Latinos in there? How many of them per capita take advantage of the opportunities? You follow what I'm saying?
You're saying not a lot?
Not a lot. In the grand scheme of things, of course not. So all that is just fucking jerk-off talk. Basically, that's all it is. At the end of the day, if you want to do something with yourself, you're going to do it. I've seen people who fucking were born without arms and shit, and they come up and they do shit. Whether they have...
It's the land of opportunity.
Yeah.
If you want to make something of yourself, you'll find a way. There are kids that come from who lived in trash heaps, you know, in other countries. Yeah. And they come out here and they work at Google now, you know? I mean, they're any black kids they wanted to.
Look, we're living in a time in America that any fucking thing is possible. No matter who you are, where you come from, the only thing that will keep you down in this country and in the world is you.
Yeah, and for any black kid that thinks he's being held down, go read the autobiography of Frederick Douglass and then come back and talk to me about it.
There was no affirmative action back then.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, check this out.
This is Michael Chiklis, and you're listening to Nestorius Public Radio.
Yeah! Just a little fucking plug in there for my Negro Michael Chiklis. I love Michael Chiklis. the dude's amazing.
So next thing we have a cock on cock story.
yo, check this out. Yo, check this out. So you can just suck my cock. So you can just suck my cock. Right. This is some crazy shit that I just read. So this is crazy. Let's check this out. A South African performance artist was convicted of sexual exhibitionism after he tied a live rooster. Get Rich, do a rooster for me. My shit is stopped. Forget it. Yeah. Tied a live rooster to his penis during an outdoor show near the Eiffel Tower. During his impromptu performance, Stephen Cohen danced for astonished tourists, including a group of nuns, while wearing a corset, high heels, long red gloves, and an elaborate feathered headdress, with a rooster attached to his private parts by a ribbon. Cohen said French officials had no understanding of what art is. What performance art is, and noted that the rooster was not harmed. Hilarious.
No rooster has been harmed in the making of this cock to rooster ribbon.
Is there a picture for that? Did somebody fucking tweet that?
Yo, put your dick in your pants, take off your fucking nylons and your corset, put your rooster on the fucking in the deep fryer.
Hey, yo. I got my big fat dick diggly deck. Don't stop with the wiggity whack, whack, whack. Don't stop, patty whack. Lick my balls, lick my cock, crack to the beat. Don't stop.
I got a rooster to my cock, yeah, I'm hanging on the block. Yo, I'm just having fun performing for some nuns. Just when I begun to take out my corset, yo, I dropped the dope shit. You know that I wrote it open. You know that's me. I take a rooster and I tie it to the end of my pee-pee.
Yeah, and you don't stop. You're gonna get your gal, and you don't quit. I got the head bone and the head down and the and the. And my neck bone connected to the gym bone, rock to the hump and the trombone.
I got the neck bone connected to my headphones. You know, I got the rooster bones up in my motherfucking microphones. I got the cock on my cock. That's what I got. Yo, I like to hang out with my cock a lot.
I be swinging my nutsack, don't stop. You're rocking to the bit, tick-tock, it's my cock. You rock to the beat, the rooster says sweet. You put the corn nuggets in my motherfucking feet. I eat the headdress, you're licking on my best. You eat my ball sack and you gargle with the rest.
Just because I want to tie a chicken to my dickin' and hang out on the corner just kicking. Yo, that's it. That's the shit I like to do. So what the fuck you gonna do? Why you gotta say, yo, yeah, I was born that way.
Yeah, that's it. We gotta do a little freestyle. We don't do too much freestyle.
We gotta do a little more freestyle, man.
We got to be like, you know what I'm saying? From the north side to the motherfucking west. Anyway, pretty good show, man. A little heated, but it was good. We had a little humor in there and shit, you know what I mean? A little freestyle. It's Thursday night. Every Thursday night, we're here in SkidRowStudios.com. We got some stupid, dope-ass shows in here. Check them out. Go to SkidRowStudios.com. Look under the shows. Tune in. Download our episodes on iTunes. Make sure you go to iTunes. Subscribe to the show. The downloads have been nice and sweet. You know what I mean?
We just found out we have 53 listeners in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, who knew?
I shit you not. Did you know that, Rich?
No, I didn't
know. The statistics. 53 listeners in Saudi Arabia.
15 in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Sharpening their knives for a fucking jihad to come down to downtown LA and chop our cocks
off. 25 in Japan. Mic in the hand, know what I mean?
How did we get more listeners in Saudi Arabia than Japan? Someone want to explain that?
Way out. Peace.